I get a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're good.
We're gonna go to 291, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number nine regarding campaign finance reform.
Roberts?
Yes.
Could we maybe take Ms. Swansky's out of order?
I wanna get your father out of here first, and then we'll get Sue. John?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You had appointed a committee of Hector, Dave, and Rich, and they did meet. You know, we sent this, we sent all the information out to all the legislators, had a meeting. I thought they invited me to the meeting. It was rather productive. And as far as I know from Dave, he has not gotten any replies back from any members. We had a meeting, and there was a question here or there. I mean, we can keep postponing this to death, but I have no problem. I've been through this before with resolutions that sometimes they try to run out the clock and do a lack of energy. But I have no problem.
Well, I'm gonna move it.
A second.
I think it's best to make sure we answer the questions, Rich, even though, I mean, there's always something, you can beat something to death. We can't change what we can't change. But even some of the folks that I have shown who counseled me a little bit said, well, you know, one of your concerns is when people under the administrative care, custody, and control, appointed officials, are working, who do we complain about that to? So I'm more than willing, if this committee postpones it for one more month, then go run it up.
Can I just make a comment?
Of course.
I think we're at the point on this resolution where there's been enough time, enough input, people will either be a yes or a no. I mean, to postpone it for a month, if nobody has given input in the 8 or 9 or 12 months since it's been out there, they're not going to put input in the next month. All it is setting a public hearing. It can be changed after the public hearing. I think it's well worth either voting yes or no to move it to the next level, or to say that's, we're not going to do it.
Rich, we did appoint a committee to, so we can move it forward and take a vote on it, but out of respect to legislator Parity the Elder, he wants to postpone it. I think Dave has put a lot of work into this, and he probably wants to be here to defend it or vote on it. So, am I?
That's correct.
I just don't see what one more, if I could just jump in, I just don't see what one more month would do it for.
Then we can say that with every resolution, because, you know, a lot of these local laws, I'm not
well,
so sure.
Well, after a while, I get tired of somebody saying, well, one more thing, you know, Columbo.
It gets
one
more. I mean, let's either vote yes or no. I mean, there's a motion and a second.
With Dave not being here, I hate to see it go down.
Postpone it, I'm kind of, you know, if you guys want to vote on it, I mean.
There's a motion and a second.
Listen, I want to see it move forward to the floor.
I think
if he can pass it, fine. If not, I don't want to take those chances.
Well, it's not going to change in the next 30 days.
After when?
I mean, just to stop it from failing. I don't know if there's three votes to send it to the floor tonight, and if there's not, then it fails, and then we got to go, and then it puts it off till next month anyway, and then, you know, and then we go on from there.
Well, then let it fail. We've been beating this around and talking about.
I make a motion we postpone it for one more month.
I don't know what to do with that.
There's another motion on already.
No, you can still make a motion to postpone. It depends on whether or not, you know, look, right now, Rich, give me one second. Mr. Parity, do you want us to hold off for one more month?
I want to hold off to make sure it passes.
All right.
And if it doesn't, then I'll know why.
Okay, fine.
It'll be that somebody who has a problem never really communicated it.
Okay.
That's where I'm coming from.
I will.
It's long overdue.
I will second that then.
All in favor of the motion to postpone?
Aye.
Have a good evening, folks. Thank you.
Hey, John. No more excuses. We're voting on this next month.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. Let me just take that.
We're going to move along to 414, amending capital project 458, the Carmine-Liberta Bridge, amending the 2016 to 21 capital program.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second.
No, it's not on the agenda.
It's my fault.
I wasn't going to say anything and rat you out, but
it's not
yours.
They're in here, though.
I,
It's on yours.
I mean, we got the email about it, so.
We got motions, and Sue, you want to talk about it, or we don't need any?
Well, all I can tell you is that the water line, which is for the village of New Paltz, the bid came in at close to 130. It was originally estimated at 90. There were some changes to the bid, something about a hydrant, and I don't know what else. So we have an agreement, an intermunicipal agreement with the village of New Paltz, where they, 90,000, I'm using round numbers, but 90,000 of the money for the water line was coming from the governor's office of storm recovery. And we have an agreement with the village of New Paltz that anything over that 90, the village is going to reimburse the county.
Is that New York Rising?
Yes, yeah. New York Rising. However, the village is in the process of trying to amend the grant to get the money to get the extra 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So either way, the county isn't going to lose anything. Mm-hmm. Either the village is going to reimburse us for the overage,
yep,
or the state is going to step in and increase, yep, the grant.
But we actually have a line for it, so regardless, it's not costing us anything. So,
okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Who moved it?
Ken. Going to move to 415, approving execution of a contract in excess of $50,000.
I'll move it.
Second. I just had a quick question on, if I can, the start date. Is it intended to be the 12th or the 21st?
It's a typo.
Okay.
It's supposed to be the 21st, as a matter of fact.
Right, in your memo, that's what it says. And, okay. 21. All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
418, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000.
I'll move it.
Which one was that? 416.
Glasses.
I had the same question on the start date on that one.
What's the start?
Nobody yet.
It says October 3rd, but then it said the 31st in the memo, so I don't know if there was a typo or if that's...
We may have made that... I don't know why there's a difference there, but I mean, it's the main thing we try to do is make sure it's after this meeting. We want them to start October 31st, the date of commencement.
The memo said the 31st, and then... The contracts had the 3rd, so I don't know if the 1 was left out or if that was intentional.
The memo says the 26th, right?
Well, that's a different 31st. One. That's
oh no, that's the one we're on, isn't it?
116.
No, 416.
Right.
Oh.
The AIA form.
I don't know. Enough. That's incorrect. It should be October 1st. That's when we need them to start.
Okay.
I don't know. The contract says the 3rd.
Well, that's because that's a Monday, I think.
Oh,
okay.
So maybe it's just the memo. The memo is irrelevant.
I apologize.
Yeah.
You don't put the 2nd, it'll be there on overtime.
Oh, God.
On a Sunday.
God help us.
Yeah, exactly. God help us. I just want
to... No, but you're right. No, but you're right. I'm laughing because I'm equally horrified. So it's
the 1st of October. That, if it was the 31st, I could have put it in next month.
Yeah. Okay.
So we should. What does the contract say?
Contract's right. It's just the memo.
Contract, just the memo.
Yeah, no, okay. The memo could be.
But it doesn't really matter. This is right. Good.
We all good?
Sorry about that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
417, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered by the county for Northeast Petroleum Technologies.
I'll move it.
Second.
Fifth.
That one is a capital project that's been on the burner for a while, and we desperately need to get rid of these old tanks. We actually had an overfill issue down in New Paltz, and the DEC went down there and you know, we have issues. We've got them under control at the moment. The DEC is happy with what we're doing, you know, painting pipes and labeling things, but they understand that some of the larger issues are going to be addressed by this.
And that's fine, but it's just this resolution is being requested by the county executive to notify them in a timely manner due to the bidding schedule. I mean, how long have you known that you had to do this, though?
We've known for quite a while. The problem is, and this well, is something no, else.
This
is something else
more
that
to it
comes
than that.
Up.
Okay, explain.
We had to develop the RFP for this ourselves. We did not give this to an engineer or a designer to do. We developed the document ourselves, and we had to have meetings with the Department of the Environment because we're trying to accumulate information about how much diesel fuel the trucks use and who's using it. And we wanted software that would gather the information that Amanda needs for reports, I think, that she gives to you folks.
If I could just interject, it says here on the memo that the bids were in at September 1st.
That's
for
right.
A start date, I would assume that's why it's late.
I get that. I'm just saying, but they've just known about this for years. That's why I wanted.
I get that too, but you can't really bring it to a resolution until you open a bid.
I got that, but then why?
What he's getting at is not Susie's fault, but they do it next month.
Yeah. Why is bid it? Project starts
at
26.
I think what Legislator Rodriguez is getting at is if it's been out there for so long, and we appreciate the work they're doing,
yeah,
it shouldn't be a late resolution. Just plan it for next month then and say, hey, we want to make sure this goes to the committees.
If I could jump in real
quick. It can't be for next month.
Why? If I could just jump right
in.
Because they're planning. I got the floor.
Go ahead.
And I understand what Legislator Rodriguez is saying. Then come next month. No, come next month to the committee meeting and start it a month later and say, we want this to go through the committee process. It's just. Late resolutions are supposed to be for emergencies. When something has been in a planning process for many months or known about it, and I'm not trying to be critical of you, that's not really a reason for a late resolution. That should go through the proper committee channels. That's all we're saying. This isn't a leak that happened a week ago or 3 days ago that needs immediate repair. This is something we've known about, so no problem. Yeah. They've done their due diligence. They've done a lot of work. Then just bring it through the... This didn't go through the Highways and Bridges Committee. Again, I'm not blaming you, but in my opinion, it's not an emergency. But I'm going to support it because it needs to get done. But this, to me, is not an emergency.
It may not be an emergency, but it has a start date of September 21st.
We could change that.
I've never had to speak on my behalf before.
Can I just say one thing about the construction season? You know, we're trying to get these things going during the construction season this year. So if we can get five of them done,
but
if you knew you were going
to
be doing that,
then we're
going to
have a late resolution for this project we've been working on for 3 years. Probably not.
I have no problem.
I know. Would have been able, knowing that these bids were coming in September 1st and September 8th for the water line and whatever, I would have been perfectly happy to bring it up at Public Works. To me, this is the process.
Right. You're right, and you're right. It is the process. It just
and I have to say also that, you know, I understand the rules, your rules, and I've mentioned this before. The projects are funded. The contracts are let according to the law. They are awarded according to the law. And I still have to come back here.
She's opening up a different can of worms.
Because it's part of the problem. And as we get closer to the end of the construction season, we're going to have late resolutions. We're going to have late contracts.
But that does not then at that point excuse it. I'm not trying to, again, I apologize for maybe being a bit aggressive or however you want to go and frame it. But at that point, then send one of your deputies to then go and give, you know, that committee, in this case Public Works, a heads up, all right?
I can tell them.
Are you telling them, though, about this? Like, for example, like you knew you had these contracts coming up,
I did.
Okay.
I could have told them. I don't. Your rules say that lates come here.
No. But
well,
see, but now you're being too literal. And Sue, pardon me, but this is where now you're reading the letter of the law to sort of not commit a greater sin, but to sort of then go in a different direction here. At least not what was intended. If you've got these, there's no reason at that point. Then at least those committees, even though it's a late. And yes, it's not going through the regular process because it's a late that you shouldn't be informing the chair and deputy chair and quite honestly, the full committee that these things are coming up. Hey, by the way, these are late resolutions. I'm going to be bringing them up to laws and rules. It shouldn't be then to de facto use laws and rules as an end around. Not that you're trying to, but as an end around, you know, public works.
I have no reason to withhold any of this information from public works.
I got it.
I'm not doing an end around.
No. I understand that. But you gotta let them know that, though. I'm just saying.
If I could interrupt.
Thank you. It was my understanding that the thing that pushed this up was the overfill at the New Paltz substation, mm-hmm. that the DEC had given us quite a number of violations, which caused it to have to be pushed up. That's the way it was explained to me when I approved it as a late.
New Paltz, we could push it back a month then.
Listen, I don't think any of us are arguing that it's late.
It's
I think we're all in support of it. All we're saying is, to me, if I'm a member of the Public Works Committee and I see three or four resolutions come in, and maybe one or two of them have been working that we've known about for a year or two,
I understand.
I'm frustrated.
I would say that should come through us
so they have time to ask questions. They have time to maybe do their due diligence.
Rich, when I was told about these last week, I asked the executive's office to call Dean and Pete as the chair and deputy chair to let them know they were coming forward and let them know why. So,
okay.
And really, they really should be calling all the members of the committee, though. Then that way, because let's say it's, I don't know, who else is on the committee? Manna's on the committee. Does Manna know that this is coming? Not that she would vote no or anything like that, but still, it's sort of a thing where, again, I'm voting for it. I'm signing my bloody name to it right now. But it's a thing where, from a process standpoint, even though yes, I realize the timeline, our official timeline may not meet your needs, you have to be able to kind of loop in the members of the committee that it would report to.
Can I ask a question real quick? Now this is going to be a really interesting question. Had there not been the spill and subsequent violations, with the DEC at the New Paltz substation, would this still have come late?
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Tracy, you had something to add.
Yeah, I have a question and a comment. So the question is, I don't know if you know offhand, but for these three, 414, 416, 470, do you know when the RFPs went out? I know when the memos say when the...
Well, the water line I know went out. I shouldn't say I know, but I think like August 11th or something, but the GOSER money, mm-hmm. the funding, first of all, they had to approve the RFP. So when we had it all done and ready to go, we found out we couldn't put it out until they reviewed it. So we had, that took another week or week and a half. And then when we put it out, because it's GOSER money, we had to have it out for 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. They have a minimum time frame. So the water line was hung up in that process. The fuel tanks, as I said, it was very difficult to get the RFP done because of the fact that we were trying to work the software in with the equipment. We needed the software so that Amanda could do reports that are required by this body. So she had to meet with the folks in our office that were working on the actual equipment.
Yeah. And now I'm like, bullshit.
All right.
So do you know when that one went out or no?
I really don't. Mark Ryder would know. Oh, and I forgot what the other one, the pool one. Yeah. And again, the pool.
Don't get me wrong.
We're relying on the pool. We do have an architect engineer on board for those to draft those specs and the bid documents. And we can't control their schedule. We tell them we need this, and they're working on it. They do what they do. It comes back to the project manager, in this case, Dave Breskowitz. He reviews it. We have to make changes. It's such a process. There's nothing, as I said, to come in with a late. It's It's going to happen. It's the process leading up to getting a contract ready to sign is onerous and unpredictable, and that's all I can tell you. That is candid.
My comment was maybe internally from the legislative side, when we get LATES approved, when it gets through your office, Ken, maybe we could, as a courtesy, copy the committee that would have been the committee of jurisdiction, mm-hmm. Just so that that whole committee gets copied on what the LATE is as well. So you know exactly to your point, Hector. It's like, yes, I'm not relieving anyone else of any duty to make a call, phone call as well, but I would be happy to,
sure.
to know.
I've got no objection from our end to doing that. That's a good suggestion.
But I think it has to be both parties at that point
doing it. Absolutely, but
so
we can control what we can control. And
sure. Exactly.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. No, 100%. But it's just one of these things where, again, I don't, look, these are projects, many of them were projects in my own bloody community. Trust me, I'm not voting no, but it's a thing. But from a process standpoint, you have to be able to loop in the committee of jurisdiction.
Well, and that's and then if we're
actually having these sort of problems from a timeline perspective, then we may then have to have an overarching conversation with regards to what's actually happening in DPW and when these things are actually hitting.
But I mean, the other benefit, it's great that Ken called the chair and deputy chair as well, but the other benefit of alerting the whole committee is if a committee member on the normal committee of original jurisdiction has a problem, they could reach out both to the chair, to the chairman, mm-hmm. and to the chair of their committee saying, hey, why is this late? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
What's going on?
Sue, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Who writes your resolutions?
Well, Kathy Jansen in my office sends a draft over here, and sometimes it's not exactly
identical. I personally don't see a problem with any of these. I think we are the committee of jurisdiction when they're late, and we're here reviewing them right now. But there does seem to be, the last couple of months, a lot of them from Public Works that we haven't seen before.
We're busy.
I
don't know what to tell you. We're trying to get stuff done.
You
know
where
the construction season is.
Go ahead, Rich.
Can maybe Mark Ryder go to the, anytime an RFP goes out for a highways and bridges project, go to the Public Works Committee and just say, hey, we've gone out on these RFPs. We're hoping they're not going to be late resolutions, but they may have to be. At least they're in a loop. That's only my thing is...
I will tell them. I have no problem telling them. I was following the process.
No, I know.
That's all.
I understand.
It's just I tried to make a note because I thought this might come up,
See, technically, late resolutions are emergencies. And
but
something
they
that's
shouldn't
a
be. Do you understand that? Do you understand
that
to wait
that.
Another month? For what reason? Funding's been approved. Contract
funding
has
been approved till
the
passes this
funding
legislature.
Funding has been approved.
Then why are
right,
we voting
because,
the capital
because,
project?
Because there's a because we approve all contracts over $50,000. Right. That's why.
Well that, the money's not allocated till we vote for it.
The money is in the capital project.
I know that, but it's not allowed to be spent till we vote for it. If
project,
we vote against it, you can't do the project.
If you vote against the contract, you're right. I can't do the
right.
project.
So,
but the bottom line is that the funding is in place. And the way the contract came about is pursuant to state procurement law.
Then you know what? Then why have a legislature?
That's ridiculous. We're talking about contracts over $50,000. We're not talking about policy. We're not talking about anything else.
Well, I think
we're talking about
the charter
about
gives
this.
The power and duty to the legislature
right.
to approve all contracts
so
over $50,000.
So if a committee that oversees public works is not being able to see these resolutions once a year, twice a year, no problem. Three or four in a month, to me, is not really... Maybe we need to change the law, the policy, to say only one late resolution per month, per department. Then,
so which one would you pick? The fuel, the water line, or the pool?
No, you know what would happen? You would say, when you start, went out for the RFP process, you would realize, in order to meet the rules
you
of the legislature...
You can't do that.
Well,
we don't have control over everybody's time... This is something
when
that
Mark
I'm
Ryder
having
goes
a
out
terrible
for an RFP,
time
when Mark
dealing
Ryder goes
with
out,
over there.
When Mark Ryder goes out for an RFP, there's an end date to the RFP that the RFP is open, right?
The RFP has to be prepared first.
We
That's
know that.
Before that.
Okay.
Okay.
We
How
understand.
Long does that take? Could take 2 weeks, could take 2 months.
And that's fine. But the earlier you guys get the paperwork to Mark, the earlier that the RFP can be prepared. Then the RFP goes out for, I don't know, what, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? So when the RFP goes out, you should know the day the contract's going to be open, and then say, okay, the next scheduled meeting of the Public Works, after that bid is opened up, that's when we're going to bring it to the committee meeting. What's happening is, when there's this meeting, between the Public Works Committee meeting and the bids opening up, basically, you're not saying this, but basically what is being said is, well, we don't really have to worry about the Public Works Committee. We're just going to go right to this committee. And to me,
that
your time frame...
That is not what's being said.
Well, but it's being done. But it's being done.
It's being done because it's your
rules. So it's not being said, but it's being done.
Laws and rules.
Can we finish up and take a vote?
And trust me, I did not mean to go and have that go even further or add on to it.
It is.
And it is a fair discussion.
That's what I'm saying.
Sue, unfortunately, I happen to disagree with regards to how you're saying things, but with regards of that, look,
you're not on there, though. Isn't that true?
It's not.
I'm very frustrated by this. You know, the people in Public Works in the committee understand how difficult it is. Everything we do is estimates. Everything we do involves other contractors. We're not DSS. You know, we don't place a child and we pay the bill. That's not the way our operation works.
And while I understand that, look, at various points previous regimes have done this, there were times they would actually put a placeholder resolution because they knew they had something coming up that month.
I can't put a resolution in when I don't have an amount or a contractor.
Okay, here's the thing. While there are things like, for example, the crane resolution that we had last month, 2 months ago? How long ago was that? Was it a month ago?
Last month, maybe.
The crane was last month.
No, but that makes sense. You had an emergency situation. Something like that coming to this committee, that's what this committee was meant for. I'm not trying to say that you're purposely doing it, but what we're sort of de facto sort of doing right now is sort of just functioning as Public Works. And at the very least, while I'm not trying to go and say, and again, that's why I brought up previous regimes would put in placeholder resolutions. They would basically then have it filled in afterwards. I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm just telling you what previously had been done, right? So at the very least, considering that some of the stuff you do know in advance, I'm just saying I would prefer it if it's not you, someone from your office, you know, let the committee know and say, hey, look, we know we've got resolutions that are coming up. They're going to be coming to laws and rules for lateness because of the timeline. Let me let you know what's contained within there. So that way when you vote on the floor, they know and they're not being hit, you know, sort of on the
or
side.
Or just don't bring them forward unless they're truly an emergency until the appropriate committee.
Ideally.
So what happens if we vote no tonight? What happens? This stuff just gets put
you
off a month, and it gets done.
If you vote no tonight, it's on you. I'm trying to get the work done.
But you know what? Vote no. And you know what? It'll get done.
It'll go
through the committee meeting next month, and it'll get done, and there'll be no issues.
I'm going to call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you,
no.
Sue.
I'm a no.
This is a 417, by the way. Which is the nozzle one.
Is that the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for doing that.
I'd like to... next on the agenda of laws and rules in public works is 382.
I caught that one.
It's a burden. It's a burden for her to be here.
She's making it apparent that she just did.
That's why you guys voted yes. You know what?
You know what, on that one, the reason I'm telling you right now, the reason I'm voting yes on that one, Richie, is because of the DEC file.
The DEC, I know, it's like one of the things where it's like, I give you a
say. I've dealt with the DEC before.
Who cares? It's their fault. It's on them. It's not on us.
I understand.
It's a
still
joke.
Sign this.
But there's
check
a... They're not going to find us in Detroit.
I still don't see a problem.
And basically, she couldn't even go through. I'm even trying to give her the easiest
the
out of the law. Saying, can you at least let the committee know what's going on
really
in this particular stuff?
No.
I know, so she did.
Why let the committee know when everything gets voted yes anyway? There's no reason to. As soon as we put a stop to it, then they follow the proper process, the spirit of the law that's in place.
Yeah.
But as long as we have the majority of people
letting them get away with what they want, they're going to continue. But she kept on highlighting the letter of the law. It's like, okay, but that's
spirit
not that's
rules.
Not what we're getting.
If you
set
it, a schedule, you just back out a schedule with an emergency.
I know,
you can't,
exactly.
Right, and you can't, and you can't always with the RFP process, you can't always back out the schedule. No. You can't always.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
But the rail. Well, her response was not. But I'm saying you can't always back out the schedule with the railroad RFP. It was extended by 20 days because vendors had questions and stuff, which happens very routinely. Right, so you can't always back out the schedule.
No, then inform
I'm move
everybody.
Along here to three
I agree with this. An email. An email is one button.
I'm with you, 100%.
But they're not doing it because you know what? Let's say not because we vote for whatever they put in front of us anyway.
Rich, I'm going to move along here. We can continue this in under old business if you'd like.
We ought to have a convenient conversation about the capital project.
Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 11 of 2016, local law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
Call the question.
What?
Chairman Ronk, you seem surprised by that.
immediately... declaring that we should call the question with no discussion. Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. Let me at least turn to the page before we can call the question.
I realize that this must be a new resolution for you, Mr. Chairman.
What? And the
board. Do you need some time to get up to speed?
I'm fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna be as nasty to me as you were to Susie there?
No.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Why don't you sit over there?
Why, he's closer here.
So has this changed substantially since the last time we saw it?
I don't think at all.
Okay, so
any changes been made, Legislator Berkey?
No. And
have we, I know that everyone has in their packet, right, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
An opinion from legislative counsel on the current version of the law.
At the back side.
Where is it?
Right.
Oh, that's at the very, very back
your
of the packet.
Supplemental material.
The one I received it for 45 days.
Got it.
Yeah. How are you not on the distribution list for this committee? Oh.
My counsel, by the way, also was not on the distribution for this.
Has your counsel written the opinion that was requested of him the same time the request was made of legislative counsel?
My position has been made clear, I think.
No, I don't believe that that's the three
meetings, actually, that we've discussed this.
Well, you also have it written, don't you?
I do have it written.
Yes, it's just to be fair, before they're off.
I think you did it right.
So you should have received it, so Legislator Berkey, on Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday?
It was
Friday.
Sent with the laws and rules documents.
She told me earlier today she did not get it.
I didn't get it until 3:30.
I got her a copy anyway. It doesn't matter.
I wasn't on the circulation list, from what I can tell.
I did. There was a...
You did?
List to laws and rules, and then yourself and Legislator Allen asked for it, I believe?
Yeah.
Were the two?
Right, but...
I'm not going to go fetch it now, but everybody has it, so...
All right. Regardless, if you don't mind, just to Council Ragucci, I mean, you have before you the opinion of, I'm assuming Council Guerin was also involved with this, correct?
They both,
okay,
yes.
So they both were. Okay, so... The opinion of two of the legislative councils, I mean, you know, what is your response to this?
Well, as I indicated in the prior meetings, I disagree. I mean, you know, Nick and I, or council, we've discussed this at length, not only during the meeting, the workshop meeting, I guess, that we had, where we kind of addressed some of the issues, but also in subsequent meetings. We just have a difference of opinion. I think that the county has the authority to do this. I've stated as much. Pretty clearly. I've also shepherdized the cases that were cited in council's memo. I don't find any of them to be persuasive. In fact, the cases affirmed the validity of the local law. The county has broad police powers, and these powers can be enforced, provided that the state has not preempted or the federal government hasn't preempted. In this case, the state law has stalled and hasn't been enacted. There are regulations in place. Regulations don't preempt local law. So I think we're well within our rights to do this.
Nick, you were guessing that?
Well, no, there were two memos that were distributed, I believe. One of them
covers this proposed local law, the other one covers the human rights law, but they have some common elements to them. We have discussed this, I think, in detail at the July work session and subsequent committee meetings. I haven't had the opportunity to have a written exchange with Councilor Ragucci. We just had the oral discussions previously. I'm not sure what case law there is that's cited in here that affirms the law. I haven't come across that. But if you break it down into the two arguments, one is preemption, the other is just the enforcement mechanism, which is really the main issue. And it's spelled out in the written memo that we've distributed. We've discussed it at length in prior meetings. I mean, if there are particular points we can go into now or and certainly expand on it.
I think that the biggest concern that we have, at least, that I have, I'm not going to attach my thoughts to anybody else. The biggest concern that I have is that the Human Rights Commission doesn't have the authority to be a deciding, judicial branch on this. It cannot be the due process. Our Human Rights Commission has the authority to refer cases to the State Human Rights Commission, which it can do without this law. It can already, refer cases to the State Human Rights Commission, and the governor and the State Human Rights Commission have through executive order and regulations promulgated by the State Human Rights Commission, have the authority to rule on issues of where transgendered folks have been discriminated against, where we at our Human Rights Commission don't have that authority. We can't implement fines. We can't hand down punishment. It just and that's what I've been told by both of our attorneys many times throughout this process, and it's not changed substantially as we've moved through. Every meeting we have the same concerns, and then every meeting we come back here again, and it's in the same form, and we have the same concerns, and they don't go away. And I'm not willing to pass a public hearing on a law that that our councils have determined is legally insufficient moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Is it council's opinion that the actual language in the specific resolution doesn't meet the requirements for the commission to enforce monetary penalties, or is it just the concept across the board that you don't support?
Well,
because there are active counties that currently do this through the Human Rights Commission.
Right.
So I'm curious if it's the language or the concept.
Right. So there's three points that were raised in our memo that were of concern in as to the law's current form. First is the issue of preemption. Second is the issue of conflict with the existing state law. And the third is the issue of the enforcement mechanism simply not being authorized by the implementing regulation, which is General Municipal Law 12D. And as that statute is cited and mirrored in the Ulster County Charter and Administrative Code. So that is the three point, I guess, boiling down the arguments that we've made in our memoranda.
So it's your opinion that the other counties that currently have their human rights commissions functioning in this capacity are rightfully doing so under the law?
With the exception of the city of New York, and then this kind of migrates over into the second memo that we prepared, which really addresses the same problem, the same issue, which is in the proposed human rights law. That's
correct. Because, I mean, we can amend charters, but so you are under the opinion that Westchester County, Suffolk County, for example, are currently functioning illegally under the Human Rights Commission.
So we pulled an appellate division case where the Westchester Commission was challenged, and we pulled the briefs from that case because the court decided not to pass on it on a technicality. Westchester County wasn't joined as a party. So the exact argument that we've outlined, independently, by the way, of our outlining it, another attorney that had represented a client who was fined before the Housing Board in Westchester for discriminatory housing practices challenged the authority of the Westchester Commission to act as it did with the identical arguments that they've exceeded the authority granted to them by 12D. Appellate Division didn't pass on that,
So the question has not been ruled upon. Our opinion, based on the authorities that we've collected, the Attorney General opinions, the federal court cases, et cetera, that are cited in our memo, indicate to us that, in fact, if it were properly challenged, they would be, in fact, operating ultra vires. Now, their argument, just to put a fine point on it, is that they're not subject to 12D. They say they have police powers and that they don't have to operate within the confines of 12D.
So despite years of functioning and administering fines, just no one has properly challenged them.
I think that's accurate.
We could make a law outlining pizza tomorrow, and if it not be challenged, we would outlaw pizza in Ulster County.
I just find it surprising that they've been functioning and administering fines, but they still have yet to be properly challenged.
Hector, you had your hand up, but I believe your attorney wants to answer, Nick, if that's right with you.
Well, other than just, I'd like to try to keep us focused on 11 as opposed to morphing over into 12, while I realize that you've linked them, and there are some links, of course, clearly. That said, no, actually I didn't, but that's okay. Regardless, I'd like us to focus on 11, and Mr. Rigucci, if you wanted to rebut.
Sure, I just wanted to address, I think counsel was referring to the Levy case, if I'm not mistaken. That's the case out of the Court of Appeals from 1995. Again, 21 years ago, and I believe the Westchester law has been in effect since either the mid-90s or late 90s, if I'm not mistaken. Again, not successfully challenged, even in our judicial system, which spins at a snail's pace, to say that there would be valid challenges that have not been unearthed yet by a savvy attorney, I think would not be something I would agree with. With respect to the preemption argument, there's obviously two main forms of preemption. There's conflict preemption and field preemption. Conflict preemption involves issues that, you know, where the local law contradicts or conflicts with state or federal regulation or law. In this case, there is no law that the state has passed relative to this issue. Field preemption involves when a state or federal law basically encompasses an entire field, and it is the intent of the legislative body to take up that issue in its entirety, for lack of a better way of putting it. Again, that has not occurred in this case because there is no law, so I don't see how preemption would be relevant, I guess, at this point. Not unless the state passes a comprehensive law that addresses this issue.
I'm going to let Nick rebut you.
Just, you know, because lawyers can go all night like this, so we can go back and forth. But
I've got time.
And certainly we're happy to indulge whatever questions you have or refine this in whatever way we need to do. Levy is the case that you mentioned. That's a Court of Appeals case. That affirmed the New York City Commission on Human Rights. And New York City stands in quite a unique position. It's been specifically recognized, 239S, by the state legislature to have concurrent jurisdiction with the state division. No other locality has been so recognized. The case that I'm talking about from the appellate division was a 2015 case. That's Ruderman. It's cited in the other memo. And we you know, went to some additional lengths I don't always do when researching these kind of things. We actually pulled the briefs that the Westchester County attorney filed and pulled the briefs that the other attorney filed to kind of boil down what their arguments would be. And a major distinction is that Westchester does not reference 12D at all in their implementing regulation. Assuming they can do that, they believe there are two separate creatures. There's a 12D commission and there's a police powers commission. Ulster County clearly has a 12D commission. Our charter clearly invoked the general municipal law when the commission was formed. So, you know, that's a major point of distinction, and if there were going to be the same kind of route taken, I think it would require a repeal and dissolution of the existing Human Rights Commission, not an amendment.
Chris and then Hector.
So, and I certainly appreciate that analysis. I think that involves almost exclusively the issue of enforcement, not the issue of necessarily the law, the bones of the law itself, which seeks to prevent certain discrimination. I think during several meetings, and I don't want to speak for legislators, but there have been suggestions and offers to amend that enforcement proceeding. I don't know if that's been something that's been explored any further. But, I mean, I still feel that we have the authority to enforce the way it's written, but I think that might be an issue that could be potentially addressed and perhaps a change to make certain members more comfortable if necessary.
Hector?
With regards to Local Law 11, clearly we know that while there was a regulation passed, even beyond an executive order. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the state of New York, though, our state legislature is still considering a local law because they know the power of what a local law is versus what a regulation is. Okay, if a regulation was enough, they wouldn't have brought it up as a local law in the assembly, right?
If I
they would no. no
young finished. You,
you can
finished.
Come right afterwards.
Sorry, I know.
Do you want me to stop? I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you. Go.
I stopped myself and put my hand up, Hector. There's no need to make this belligerent, okay?
No, I'm not being belligerent.
I don't agree.
I just offered you to let you speak. How is that belligerent? Anyway, regardless.
I'm not going to make a ruling on unless we get the lawyers involved.
Okay.
We could be here another hour. But Hector,
I've got time. It's okay.
I know. We got all night, don't
so,
you?
So anyway, regardless, I'm, again, speaking personally, because I don't want to speak for anybody else, I think that this is the route that we have to go. If we do not do a local law, if we do not at least try to go and take a stand for these individuals who have been discriminated against, okay? We've got articles that have made their way into the press with regards to individuals being discriminated against. We are taking a stand here, and we are in fact codifying it in law. I'm perfectly comfortable with it. I realize others may not be. And this may be a discussion that we have after we have the public hearing and after we have the actual vote on the law itself.
I got, if I could say one thing, Kenny. Before,
absolutely.
You know, and if memory serves me right, and I believe I expressed support in principle for the law, and I believe we had a conversation here last month that if changes were made to the enforcement part, that you know, we'd pretty much vote to pass it. And I thought that's what was going to happen with, you know, removing the Human Rights Commission.
So what's that? So what does that look like?
If I may.
I don't know.
If I may.
Yes, go ahead.
The request was not for a memo simply discussing the police power and the enforcement, but a recommendation for how you would see the enforcement work and what language you would recommend so that it was essentially a challenge to you, and that was clear in the discussion, that if you don't think the enforcement language works, give us language that works.
Well,
and we were asked for it in 2 weeks. I've gotten it today. This gives us no time to move forward with it. I think that's a disservice to the spirit of this, which is let's work together and let's make this happen. If you really object to the enforcement provision because it's weak, give us the enforcement language to use.
Go ahead, Legislator.
All right. I don't know where to start, but I'll start with the comments that Legislator Berkey just made. That's not how I remember what it was that was supposed to happen. I remember that there was talk of our council saying, well, show me what would be legal. But I remember it going further than that into, you know, our counsel was going to say why it wasn't legal, what wasn't legal about it, which he's done, and then minority counsel was going to say what would be legal. And we were going to have two separate memos. I remember very specifically saying, if our counsel's going to write a memo, then your counsel's going to write a memo.
Minority counsel thinks it's legal.
Well, my
but he's never, if I could, hold on a second. I'm sorry, no. I have the floor now. I've been asking for the floor for a while, and then other people have gone in front of me.
I thought you were done.
No. Your counsel has said out loud it's legal, but I don't believe in any of these meetings he said it's legal because of A, B, and C, and I've never seen it in writing, which is what we were looking for. You know, so just getting back to the enforcement mechanism. You know what? I'm sorry. I have to get back to what Legislator Rodriguez was talking about before because there was a eloquent grandstanding going on, and I want to just respond it with my opinion on
on why it's not necessarily better to do it on the local level than what's on the state level right now. A, that's number one, because as the governor said in his press release when he announced the regulations and when he announced his executive order, that doing these things county by county by county is contrary to people being equal in the state of New York, because it shouldn't be that you cross the Mid-Hudson Bridge or you cross the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge and all of a sudden you have a whole different a whole different manner by which people can or cannot be discriminated against. That was why they did it with state regulations, because GENDA never passed both houses of the legislature and was never signed into law, and the governor was looking for something that was going to be a standard across the board. That's why the proper way to do enforcement with this, in my opinion and in our council's opinion, is if we're going to have a law to protect against the regulations being 86'd up at the State Human Rights Commission, which I would put down every cent that I own will never happen in New York State. But let's just say, for the purposes of argument, it would. If we want to have this law to fall back on, I think our council has made it abundantly clear that we have this law saying this is what the law is in Ulster County, and if there are complaints, the Human Rights Commission refers them to Albany, to the State Human Rights Commission, where they are already able to forward complaints. Thank you. I think that's it.
Thank you. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, if I may, just to read from the conclusion provided by Majority Council and Legislative Council, right, on Local 11. Because really, it just comes down to the conclusion, ultimately.
Page number 7, for those of you reading at home.
Right. There were,
thank you.
There were a few things laid out before that, just which we can get into.
Sure, but if I may, the proposed local law is preempted by the state regulation and conflicts with the existing state law. Further, the enforcement mechanism is the proposed local law exceeds the powers delegated to the state to the county by the state. Finally, the New York City Human Rights Commission occupies a unique position of concurrent jurisdiction with the state division and has not been expressly extended to other local commissions, right? So, in essence, and again, I apologize, and feel free, please, Nick, to go and to
interrupt,
contradict, or interrupt, whatever. In essence, we shouldn't even do this law at all. There, you don't have a suggestion as to how to actually go and do this. Your response is, we don't need it at all.
It's not a question of need, so that's...
Oh, no, okay, sorry.
That's the wrong...
Okay, no, and again, I apologize. But basically, you're not offering a suggestion on how to actually go and find a version of this law that you find acceptable.
Well,
it becomes a matter in which that we just don't have the power to do it all.
Again, and maybe, and I'll defer to those who kept the minutes, and maybe I should be in better communication with Chris on this, but... I had envisioned a process where we would exchange memos and then there would be something that would evolve from that. So that exchange hasn't happened. So this is certainly the legal position that we've articulated, Councillor Guerin and myself. And so, half of the coin has appeared.
So I'll work right now then, I guess, with the one half of the coin I have. So to use your words. So is there a version, and you've had plenty of time at least to be familiar generally with this law, is that correct?
I spent a lot of time researching it.
Okay, yeah, so but you've got some clarity.
We didn't research it slightly.
So if, and I didn't say you did, but you didn't. Is there, in your opinion, a suggestion to amend this law to make it acceptable legally, in your opinion?
Well, we have identified three issues. We'll take them in reverse order. The first one is the enforcement mechanism.
Okay.
I don't see a way, and this is maybe where I'm relying on minority counsel to show me the way, if there is one. There may not be one. To use the local Human Rights Commission as a court in the way that this law intends it to be. The way that the local Human Rights Commission, as I understand it, was always intended to function was as a conciliatory body, which was to mediate disputes, to bring the community together, not to be punitive. And that's the way the state law is written, That's the way the federal courts have interpreted it. And that's the way that the AG opinions that I cite in the memo have interpreted it. So, you know, today, if someone has an experience of discrimination in Ulster County, they can come to the local Human Rights Commission and they can attempt to mediate it and they can attempt to work it out. They can have public discussions. If that fails, there can be a referral to the State Division. And the State Division already has in place machinery to dispose of this stuff. So
okay, so your but then your opinion is referral. That's what your opinion on this matter is. That's the only legal.
In terms of enforcement, I believe that referral to the State Division is the only permissible pathway.
I disagree with that.
Aside from no, understandable.
I got you. No,
but aside from again, the process is to be. To me, it's a conciliatory process that's envisioned in the state law, not a punitive process. They have the executive law at the state level to have a punitive process. The local level is more of a mediatory, conciliatory conference type of a process, and that's the way the state law is written. That's the way these things were intended to function.
Anything else, Hector?
I think
I'd like to welcome Legislator Donaldson. You got your hand up, please.
Thank you, and I'm sorry I'm late. I was at a function, and I didn't. I advised everybody that I probably wouldn't be here about 7:30ish or so. So I got here for 4 minutes early. So basically, what we're being advised by council there is that we are supposed to drop back and punt. Not supposed to be doing anything, and my take on it is I don't want to drop back in front. I think we need to do something on a local level. We need to take a stand.
Go ahead, Chairman.
My concern with doing something and taking a stand when you've got attorneys that are saying that we can't do that is that if we pass this law, the first person to to be grieved by it, and in a sense, in essence, the first person that files a complaint against a business, that business owner then hires a lawyer and sues the county and sues, the Human Rights Commission over, the fine that's been levied. We could be facing something where that person is denied their recourse that they would have if we referred it to the State Human Rights Commission instead of handling it locally, as we've been told by multiple attorneys, both of our councils, that we can't do. To me, we're putting in jeopardy the same people we're trying to protect by doing it that way.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I may, just a good example of that. In a totally unrelated law, but is the cyberbullying initiative. Albany County went out front with that. That ended up in criminal charges to a young man by the name of Marquand. You may have read the case, you may not have. Mm-hmm. He did some pretty awful stuff, and he was charged. And his lawyer challenged it, and it went all the way to the Court of Appeals, and the law was thrown out, and he skated on it because it was a bad law. So that's the moral of the story, which is if you put a weak law out there, it ends up getting challenged, you end up depriving the very people you're trying to protect of the remedy that you're trying to offer them. So, that's the spirit from which I think the chairman speaks, and I would just offer that as an example in a totally different subject area that maybe would be, by analogy, something you can think about.
It may feel good to do it at the local level, but if we make ourselves feel better by doing it at the local level, and it turns out that the remedy is not there, somebody challenges it when there's already a remedy at the state level, I think it may make us feel better, but it's not accomplishing what we're trying to do.
Dave?
Well, number one, he's talking about a criminal case. Number two, there's been other places that have these laws, like Westchester County, for decades, for almost a decade, and it hasn't been challenged.
Hasn't been overruled.
I'm sorry. And then let's take a look at
challenged.
Other things. I mean, there's so many other things we're dealing with. We're talking about, you'll be going to court very soon over a court case with the with moving the family court.
I can't talk about things that might end in potential litigation.
Oh, they will. They're not potential. They will. I've already talked to the attorney today, and we will be filing. unless we come up with a reasonable thing. I mean, I tried to do reasonable on that one, but you guys said no, reasonable is not good enough.
Way to get that in, Dave. Way to get that in tonight when we're talking about something else.
But I like to get anything I can in when I can.
No doubt.
But the point is,
truer,
is
that, never spoken.
You know, if we're going to be reasonable about things, then let's be reasonable. And you're not being reasonable on this one.
Which one?
11.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were still talking about the ballot language or if we were talking about this.
So. I'll call for the vote.
Any other further discussion? Call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm for a public hearing.
You got to amend it if it's going to pass.
Sorry.
You're going to have to amend this if it's going to pass to the 12th.
Hey, the 12th, right?
Yeah, at 6 p.m.
Yeah, the date.
Has to be.
Resolution. The date right. is for 11th. I believe that's Yom Kippur.
All right. Before we then vote on, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, before we vote on this finally, I'd like to amend the date to be October 12th. I believe that's the date that we're doing
October 12th,
it. Correct.
Still,
yes.
Is it still 6 p.m. or
make it 6 p.m.
No, we're making it 6 p.m.
Please.
Okay, fine.
You are going to offend anyone who has to break the fast because it's not
I don't
over.
Know why that.
I'm putting on the 12th, or rather, I'm voting for it.
11th and 12th are no good. It's still a holiday.
But it's what day our meeting is. We moved it to Wednesday on our website.
We have a meeting on 13th.
When would this public... You can't hold a hearing on the breakfast.
What is when is the holiday?
The holiday starts at sunset on the 11th. It ends after you actually eat something on the 12th. Which
after
doesn't
sundown.
Happen until after sunset.
So can we do 7:30?
So,
Nine o'clock.
I think that would be. I think, like I said,
I'm not trying to be wise, Ben.
No,
it is the most solemn holiday of the year.
Okay. Our meeting was moved to the 12th.
It was already moved, but I mean, we could move it again.
Go ahead, Hector.
All right. If I may, then if I may, if we're going to, and again. Just,
I know
just
I won't attend, and that
the regular
that meetings
on the 18th, right?
No. I got that. I mean, look, in previous years, this is not something that we have not encountered before.
This should have been
In previous years, we've normally just observed the first day and not the second. No, I'm saying that's just what has happened previously.
Okay.
That said, I don't know. No, I don't know if Chairman, you're here.
It depends on the time of year.
Yeah, no. I don't know if we can do the 14th.
I would hate to offend people. So
I mean, I don't know if we can do the 14th.
It's I've got a meeting.
It's a Friday, isn't it?
No, it's a Thursday, isn't it?
No, you're
13th is Thursday.
13th, sorry, 13th. Sorry, sorry. Sorry, 13th.
That would be fine.
I have another committee meeting.
I agree.
I have another committee meeting.
Can I just make a suggestion? Well, we're going to obviously have to sort out what's happening
with
August.
There's a lot of hearings.
But because right now this is before, why wouldn't we just set the hearing for a session day, which is the 18th? We know it's staying the 18th.
Fine.
Just set the hearing
for
session day.
Fine.
Problem is, now we could get 100 speakers and we've got our legislative stuff.
That's okay.
It's not all right.
Well, you're going to have public comment.
Why don't we have the meeting tomorrow? I'm going to be in first thing in the morning tomorrow. I'll meet with Vicky. I'll meet with everybody else, and we'll find out
whatever caucus
what we can do to move caucus to an appropriate day that week, and then we can amend this tomorrow night on the floor. Perfect.
Just so you know, the 13th right now is environment.
Well, we don't know for sure. But
that's why it's going to take a longer time than just us sitting around a table right now. It's going to take some,
So then for right now, then let's not worry about amending it because we're going to amend it on the floor. So in that case, then leave it for what it is. Mr. Chair, I guess you actually have the vote. I don't know if you want to call for the vote again or not.
We all agree, but the agreement is to hold the hearing.
Yes. But we're moving on
in its current form.
Yes. Somebody withdraw the dates then?
I withdraw that motion to amend.
Why don't you pass it on the 18th and then amend it?
Why are we having public hearings in November?
You're passing it with a date.
Have the public hearings in November's meeting.
I got that, but I'm saying, look, I'm okay with the 18th.
We're
going to
change all the other committees.
We can fight about it. And amend it tomorrow.
You can
pass it with
no. No, it currently has the 11th on here.
I'm voting no.
Leave it alone for right now. Not on now. I got that, but we're going to go and change it to whatever we ultimately do decide whatever clause.
We're all going to be amending it tomorrow. If they move forward, because that's when the chairman moves the date to.
But there's other meetings.
All right. Mr. Chair.
I think we should move this to Public Works and Trade. This resolution.
four late.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Chairman Ronk will figure the date out. That
exactly. So
just pass it as is.
All in favor?
It's illegal anyway. Why not just pass it a little bit different?
Say aye.
Aye.
Dave, say aye.
Right. Their votes have been cast. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next.
Now we have an easy one.
Now on to the next thing we can do.
390, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13. Local law amending the code of the county to limit gifts that county officers and employees may receive to be held on October 11th, 2016.
Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't imagine you were going to be pushing for the illegal one to
push this month, but I told you no promises.
This one right here?
All right, it's fine.
I did say that.
I'll move it.
Went from something we can work together on to something that's going to fail tomorrow night, so that's fine. You guys are trying to make a point for grandstanding's sake, and that's fine.
Or make it part of the campaign finance one. Whatever.
I need a second. So
I'll second. Sorry.
Tracy, you want to talk about this for 30 seconds?
Yeah, it could be just 30 seconds. So the memo came out from the comptroller, and John and I... This was basically an easy fix. It pointed out that there was no cap from any one person. So while there was a $75 cap, one person could give 10 $75 gifts. So we changed that. At the same time, when we looked at the language, the way the, which I think is in the packet, the way the original language read, if you minus the bolds and the scratches, it technically read that we could not receive any gift over $75 because nor is an additive conjunctive word. So we just fixed that while we were there. So yeah, it was just kind of an easy fix, and I thought it would be that uncontroversial. John and I put it in for this month, and yes, that's the whole thing.
Go ahead, Rich.
I'm fine with this, but in my opinion, it should kind of be tied in with the campaign finance one. I mean, it's all got to do with public officials and limits to, so somebody could say, well, I'm not going to give you $75 10 times, I'll give you $75 once, and then I'll donate the other 9 times to your campaign account.
Dave, you have anything to add on that since you worked hard on that?
Can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
I think it is of like mind. The reason it's in separate is that this is amending the code, something that's in the code currently.
Okay.
But it is certainly thematically the same idea. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Resolution 411, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15 of 2016.
Make sure.
Amending the Ulster County Charter Section C-101A in the Ulster County Administrative Code A30-2A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Number one, thank you as usual for putting this on the agenda. Number two, clearly 411 and 412 are linked together.
You going to move it?
I will, yes.
Second?
I'll second.
All right. It's not intended to be moved this month. In fact, I even put it in 2 months before just to at least to sort of give people a heads up that this was going to be coming forward. Just as with local law 11, I would actually urge, Mr. Chair, if we can actually try to hold a workshop meeting on this very subject. I think we kind of started doing that a little bit earlier today when we started sort of discussing working off of your memo on Local Law 12. I think we have some disagreements there, but that's okay. We may want to sort of try to work through that as well. So as was noted, Westchester and I think actually a little bit of Rockland were used predominantly as templates. But I think that this has been a long-standing issue for Ulster County. I know Legislator Donaldson introduced something of this nature 20 years ago, something along those lines. And, you know, it's one of those things that maybe its time has come.
Is there a will to do a workshop?
Yes.
Rich?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Is anything going to get changed? If we're not going to change anything to begin with. I mean, you know, we had a workshop meeting on the law that we've just passed for a public hearing to go to the floor, identified issues with it,
and then it got brought up two consecutive months, and nothing was changed. So, I mean, if we're not going to change anything, you know, with respect to making it, you know, from our end, you know, be, you know, permissible or legal, then what's the point in wasting people's time with a workshop meeting?
Mr. Chair, as the principal sponsor, I can assure you I am very open to amendments. However, I just think that conceptually we have to at least start from the point of agreement that we can do this, right? I'm just saying...
Conceptually, I believe that we can do this necessarily, okay. But okay. Not through the process that's offered and not through, we can't, as legislative, council... Pascal, thanks. I was going to say Rigucci. He has too many Italian names. As Council Pascal...
No exception.
As Council Pascal pointed out, it would be more of a repeal and replace than it would be an amendment to the administrative code and the charter.
Okay.
If there's an appetite for making this one legal, then I'm perfectly fine with having
Legislator Donaldson.
There were significant changes that were changed to the other one that just got finished passing. Not all the changes, because they weren't the ones that you wanted. That doesn't mean that it wasn't changes made.
Show me a significant change, please.
So as a result, there were changes.
That one's done and over, please.
Someone that was at the meeting, there was significant discussion.
There was significant discussion.
Yeah, but there was also changes made.
Significant, I guess, is a subjective ideal.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, very similar to the emboldened ballot that we have. Yes, there is.
I had $5, Ryan, that you could bring that up again.
There were changes made. Let's face reality. There were changes made, and if you don't want to accept the idea that the legislative process can work, I realize that we can carry the water for the county executive, or we can actually do things on our own.
I actually had double or nothing that you were going to say carry the water, so cheers.
Oh, you didn't have double or nothing, but...
Who did you make this bet with?
We could either carry the water or we could do our own thing. Yeah. We could actually do make process here. And this is making process. This is actually something that we should be talking about and we should be having on the books.
Yep.
We do not have one on the books. And it's sad that we don't. Other counties do, and we can empower our Human Rights Commission if you want to. If you don't want to empower them, if you want... county executive to make all those decisions on what right and wrong, or if you want to actually have a commission that has some teeth, that's up to you.
Bless you.
If you don't want to do that, that's fine. I mean, that's the way you look at it, then look at it that way.
Mr. Chairman, may I respond to that?
No.
Very briefly.
No. I think we've
beaten a dead horse, but that said, though.
I think Hector has requested a...
workshop.
Workshop. Mm-hmm. Jay will work on some dates tomorrow, and we'll get back to you with the date of that before our next meeting.
Can you include Jay all the legislature when you do? Just because I think this is something worth having everyone involved if there's someone calling.
By the way, I didn't get your email. I didn't see that from the other day. I can see. You were just right. It was probably Friday night.
How about that? This one too?
My Sabbath.
Oh, now you're using it. Such a thing.
This is the ball. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a twofer for him.
I did not know. I don't even know if that was a thing now. I don't know. You think Kingston people do lots of weird things. I don't know. You hit me.
Right, so we're done.
I think, yes.
Anything to
add?
Look at you. You want to say something?
We don't have any new business. Can we make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
So.